Today, we're talking about a topic that can be a little intimidating, but incredibly powerful for ministry, data and location analysis. We're joined by Walter Harrison, the CEO of WhoCameBy.com, a platform that helps churches understand their local community. It all happens next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacey and Phil Thompson.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast.
Hi, Steve Lacey. This is, yes, the Church Solutions Podcast. Phil's trying to keep me off on guard. He normally does the intro. You can kind of tell the radio voice, and he's got the intro, and he normally, for I don't know, past 5 years it's been the same, but for the past 3 weeks he's been making it different every week.
We got to change things up. You're a routine person, so we got to break you out of your routine.
Yeah. All right. So things like introducing the podcast.
Yeah. All right. We got to have some fun around here. So it's episode number 487. I'm Phil Thompson. He's Steve Lacey. We have a guest today, which we are really excited about. I love what this guy is doing, and we're probably going to do a webinar with him here in a couple of months. But before we get to him, speaking of webinars, we want to encourage you to sign up for our new webinar, which I don't know if you can at this point, but you probably will eventually. And So look, yesterday, Michael said that what we did yesterday, we did a webinar yesterday, and he said, this is the longest title you guys have ever come up with for a webinar. It's ridiculous. I think we can beat it. The one we got right now is coming up is called AI Power Translation and Captions for Churches. Simple, scalable, and cost-effective. Is that pretty long? I think so. All right. So we'll probably change that. But that's the gist of the webinar. It's brought to you by us as well as Aberdeen.io.
Did you say translations or transcriptions?
I have translation here is what I have. And I have, that's what they sent me. That's what they, the guys from Aberdeen sent me.
All right.
If you have a problem with that, you need to talk to them.
It's these guys have been doing closed captioning for a long time. And so it'll be interesting to see what they're doing now.
Good bunch of guys. We've met with them. And so the webinar is actually going to be in September, September 23rd. It's going to be 2 PM Eastern. And you can go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv to sign up, and depending on when you hear this, and we have other webinars. So if you listen to this webinar 5 years from now, hopefully we'll still be alive. But you can always go to that deal, streamingchurch.tv/webinars, and see all the webinars we've done, and we've done a ton of them because we want to help churches, and it's not just streaming, but it's tech and other things. All right, so that's happening. So without further ado, let's introduce our guest. He's the CEO of WhoCameBy.com, a location analytics tool for churches. He's done over 15 years of experience in ad tech, data, product development. He's partnered with Fortune 10 companies. He scaled a product to over 10 million users. He's had a successful exit from his previous ventures, and he's really known for his ability to explain technical data concepts in an easy to understand way. And we're going to put him to a test for that today. But he can speak on topics such as how apps track user movement, how marketers understand consumer behavior, the connection between culture, consumer behavior, foot traffic, all that good stuff. And on top of all that, he enjoys hiking with his family in remote areas. And I happen to know he's in the Chicago area. But let's welcome Walter Harrison to the Church Solutions Podcast. Walter, how are you?
Doing well. Phil, Steve, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We're glad to have you here. Did I get your bio right, or was I out of? All right. Well, that's good.
Perfect.
And we're glad you're here, and we're excited to get to this. So you've got to, Steve and I usually go back and forth with questions here, so I'll let him ask a question. But before that, let me ask the first one. Your background, is in ad tech, right, and data. So what led you to create a product like WhoCameBy.com specifically for churches? I know businesses can use it as well, but this is something that churches should be really interested in.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a great question. So I think my background is really helping location companies at enterprise level. So you guys go to Chipotle, McDonald's, you fly Delta at O'Hare in Chicago or wherever you're at. Like, these enterprises are pretty intent on knowing why. Why are they flying Southwest? They take Uber or they take a Lyft, or they went to a parking lot looking at cars. Do they buy the car? Do they not buy the car? That location intelligence is valuable, and we as consumers have been a part of it. And we've been doing that for a decade plus. Now I'm trying to give that same level of technology to the SMB, to the church as well, and make it more democratic, which is what we're working on now. It's pretty exciting.
I think it's great.
So tell us in kind of 50,000 foot view what this thing is and why a church might be interested in it.
Yeah, so some of the questions I think churches all over America are trying to understand is, you know, how many people came to the church on a Sunday? And the typical way you would be counting seats, counting cars in parking lots, how many people filled out the first-time visitor card or on the iPad. Maybe you have like Wi-Fi technology that people accept the Wi-Fi or start tracking that. So I think all that is good and great. But in modern technology, imagine you walk into a grocery store like a Kroger or a Safeway or a Target. They know how many people visited their store, even if you purchased or not, by Bluetooth beacons and lights, cameras that have eye tracking, and location intelligence. So with our technology, we have the location intelligence by looking at consumers who are using certain apps compliantly. Got to keep highlighting that. So when you visit a church, when you park your car or drive and visit, we'll track dwell time, how far you drove to get to that location, and also your frequency of visitation. Are you a once a month person, multiple months? Are you going to multiple different churches? How did your event go? If it was like a big event on a Sunday, maybe a concert, something like that. So it's all powered by opt-in consumers using our app network.
Wow. So you're saying that you have the ability to track what you just said, that people, where they came from, where they went. So as a church, I would guess that this would be some data that I had no idea existed.
Yes.
Or was available.
Yep.
And I guess it would probably, how would it change the decisions I make in the church?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we've worked with multiple churches and they're already using our platform now. I'll give you one example. One of the churches we're working with, which is in St. Louis, has a 9 and 11 o'clock service. And they've noticed for many years, their biggest audience is going to the 11 o'clock service. And it seems obvious. People don't want to get up earlier in the morning. But it also turns out the 11 o'clock service consumers are driving further. So they need more time. Also, they would sometimes have an event after 11 o'clock service, let's say lunch or, you know, something with the kids. These consumers would stay more consistently versus the 9 o'clock service because they're driving out further. They're staying there. They're having lunch there, spending most of the afternoon around the church, and they're driving home a bit later in the afternoon. Sunday is kind of like a bigger deal for the 11 o'clock versus the 9 o'clock. And you can really change how you talk to this audience, what type of events you do by knowing that level of intelligence.
You've kind of answered this next question I wanted to throw at you, but I'll put it out there again. So because you've worked with Fortune 10 companies in the past, how does the data needs and the challenges of a church differ from, you know, like a major corporation, or do they at all, and what's similar?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. So we worked on getting consumers to go see Gladiator 2 in IMAX. And that was a really cool need for us. So we basically geofenced specifically the IMAX in all AMC theaters across America. But we also figured out who are IMAX consumers. So we had to figure out who went and saw Oppenheimer in IMAX, who saw Barbie in Oppenheimer. That was our seed audience to get and promote Gladiator 2. So just think about that example. It's a theater, almost the size of a church. Many churches are bigger, some churches are smaller. And I have the subset and just do the IMAX screen only. So imagine that need for a church. Like, I mean, I'm trying to get young families to come to my church under 40. They're coming. Do they have kids? Do they not have kids? Are they dropping off their kids at this part of the building? Are they not? Where are they parking? Where are they sitting? Are they kind of mingling after church? Because all these could be data points of a person who's going to stay at the church long term versus be a first time guest and never come back.
Interesting, Steve, or do you want me to keep going here? I've got a few more questions. So I'm a former pastor, and we have a lot of pastors listening to this podcast and church leaders. And I'm thinking to myself, some leaders might hear this whole thing, you know, like the whole location analytics thing and think, sounds like Big Brother here. How do you address that concern when you're trying to explain the ethical use, I guess, of this kind of data for ministry purposes?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I think it's an important question. So for us, we're only dealing with consumers who've opted in. So if you're listening or watching this right now, you've downloaded an app, and this app says, I want to track your location while using allow once or all the time. And you as a consumer have the choice. So for us, if that consumer does not consent to that, we never receive the data. And on top of that, we are going to look at the different privacy rules that exist across the U.S., whether it be CCPA in California, GDPR primarily in Europe, but Colorado, Vermont, et cetera, and giving the consumer the ability to opt out. But the game that we're playing, which is important, is the consumers, you and I, are playing a game of trade-offs. We love the app, the game, the social media app, and it's free. But generally, it's not free, right? There's a cost for that, and that is enabling advertising and tracking. And I think there is a way you can do it compliantly by using this technology to power and help businesses versus just being a surveillance tool.
So just to be clear here, this is not an app that you deploy to your congregation and follow them where they go. This is all the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the X, all of the apps that are already out there. Mm-hmm. So they're, and we talked about this a little before, but so if you're using one of those, and who's not using one of those, and you happen to, I guess, launch one of those, or if you enabled the ability to track you wherever you went when you installed the app, and it's wherever you are, but or when you're using the app. So one good thing, you can find out who's using apps while they're at your church, right?
Exactly. And another way to think about it is like we're already using Wi-Fi, right? You go to a Panera, you go to a library, you go to a church, you enable Wi-Fi. I mean, when you enable that Wi-Fi, the Wi-Fi holder can see every website you visit. They have your IP address. They have the information on your phone, meaning like, oh, uses an iPhone 14 running blah, 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 blah. So that already exists, and consumers don't even think about it. I just want Wi-Fi. That's existing in the app world as well.
Yeah. So this is really just an ocean of information that people didn't realize could be available to them to help them make better decisions for how they run their church, right? I mean, just knowing where people, how far they drove, how long they stayed, that sort of thing. So this is really, really eye-opening. So I had asked you this question before when we talked, but I'll ask it here again. So of all the people that come to my facility, this isn't going to work to count heads that walk through the door because it's not going to capture everybody. What percentage of the people or is it going of your traffic on average does it typically recognize?
Yeah, it's a great question. Typically between 30-45%. We're never going to capture 100%. It's just not possible. And also we don't track anything under 18 and we don't really look at a lot over 70 as well because those demographics get a little wonky at times. But in conjunction with the things you're already doing, maybe Wi-Fi and counting cars and counting, you know, seats, this becomes a really good and important data ingredient.
Yeah. So I just had a question and it escaped me. So give me some examples. It just came back. Give me some examples of how churches are using that have been made aware of this information. How are churches using this information to help their congregation?
Yeah, so two examples I'll give. The first is young families. That is the most desired demographic for church today. It's families under 45, under 40 in general. And it's like, how are you attracting that? Using our technology, the first thing we would say is, what church in your area, name a city, it could be Des Moines, it could be Burbank, what church in your area do you feel already has that audience? Or what business? But an example, typically you want to use a church. Let's geofence that church, that brotherly, sisterly church. We're not going to call them competitors, but that brotherly, sisterly church. Let's see how they're talking to their congregants on social media, on their website. And that's attracting a certain audience. So what you could do is maybe change your messaging to attract it. Maybe it's because they had a certain event or a certain speaker or concert or whatever it is, but it's likely how they're being portrayed on the outside that's kind of drawing it in. So we had that exact scenario where this church was trying to get young families. We found the churches in their area. And not only that, one little tidbit is like, we did also rank every church in a city by membership going back 1 year. That data is super valuable. And we were able to mold and shift how this church spoke to their actual members. And we were able to actually start seeing that audience grow.
Go ahead, Steve. I got a question, but go ahead and follow up.
All right. So the way this, just backing up, you know, the way this thing works is, you know, if you want to take part of the service you provide, who came by, is it starts with kind of identifying on a Google map within your system where your church is and where you want to, you know, how you want to geofence your church. So when people cross into the parking lot from the street or that they enter into the building or wherever you want to start tracking, you identify that area, and then it will start providing you data after you set that up.
Yeah, and that was kind of my next question. But for those of us who don't know, and I learned about geofencing years ago when I was doing off-roading stuff. But what is geofencing? Because we have people listening going, geofencing, what's that all about?
Yeah, happy to. So a geographic fence. So basically, it's the ability, if you use Google Maps, Apple Maps, imagine you drew a line or a circle over a building. Let's say it was Soldier Field in Chicago or Madison Square Garden or a beach out in Huntington Beach. You're like, I just want to see how many people were in this specific area. And these are very tight perimeters. Within that boundary, how we're creating it is using latitude and longitude. So you basically have the lat and the long around a polygonal of some sort, and you then track how many devices are just within that boundary that you specify.
All right.
So can I, if I'm a church and I want to attract young families, can I go and say, I want to know, I want to somehow reach out to, not the people that are coming to my church, but the people that are going to the college football game in town, or exactly. Or something that young families would be participating in, so that I could get some information on who's going there, and then is there an ability to try to reach out to those people somehow? Is that a use model?
Exactly. So what churches are probably doing or are not doing, just depending on where they're at on the spectrum of the church, is advertising in some sort. Maybe you're using Google AdWords or doing SEO, or you're advertising on Instagram and Facebook. And when you're doing that, you're basically saying, I'm looking for faith-based people, or I'm looking for people who may be interested in faith-based things, which is great. But using this as like a tool for outreach, I geofence the promenade. I geofence that local gym, that Lifetime Fitness, the club fitness where families are going with their kids and swimming in the pool and they're spending the weekend there. Or maybe it's a Six Flags theme park that our church is a few miles away from. You're geofencing it. With our platform, we have the ability to grab those mobile devices, send them over to Meta, which is Facebook. So that will include Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram. And you can target just those specific people at the Great Wolf Lodge or the Six Flags or the Lifetime Fitness, whatever you're interested in geofencing.
Yeah. So that's probably why my Instagram and Facebook and stuff is filled with I'm a big car guy. So we go to, you know, the Barrett Jackson auction, or we go to that, I guess. And if I open up one of these, you know, Facebook or Instagram or any one of these apps while I'm there, then they go, oh, this guy's a car guy. I'm going to send them some car stuff. That's kind of, so you could, so businesses are doing it. I mean, this data is available right now and
absolutely
to businesses. Have you seen that the church is usually late to the game with a yeah. lot of technology things? What's, have you seen that with this? And what, how's the reception been with the church? Churches that have
really good. So those who use our, and I don't want to go too far in the data here on the, on this call because I want to kind of be introductory, but typically businesses and churches that use our data see typically a 3 times higher return rate or click-through rate on their ads. The bottom line is, we're all listening to this, Instagram ads work. How many things have you clicked on or purchased? Maybe not you, Steve or Lacey, but I'm telling you, in general, a lot of people respond to Instagram ads because they're highly targeted. How are they highly targeted? Because they, Instagram and Meta and all those properties know where you are. There's a like button all around the internet, which at the, is typically at the bottom of the screen. That sends information back to Meta, even if you're on a Shopify website that, oh, Steve's interested in classic cars. Next time he's on Instagram, let's show him a classic car ad. It works. And what we're doing is we're now adding, hey, this person was there yesterday at In-N-Out Burger. We're going to sell that information to a competitor, maybe Culver's. And now Culver's, let's show ads for this gentleman, burgers, because they like burgers.
Yeah. So for the churches, I mean, this is really exciting. You know, if I can go through and say, man, I want to, well, our church is probably like a lot of churches. They want to reach young families. And before, the you would just kind of shoot out into the airspace, you know, young families, come to my church, you know, whatever. You took a Facebook ad out or whatever, and you can like target your area or stuff. But this will be, this will, you can target those that are right within that niche. And based on not only their ages and whether they're married and things like that, but where they have, you know, businesses they frequent or places they go and that sort of thing. So you could really put together an outreach program to reach out to exactly the people that you want, the influencers you want in your community, the families you want to draw in. So it's, I mean, this is really, when you were showing this to us, I was kind of blown away. I was like, oh, wow. You know, this is pretty amazing. I know a little bit about on the app development side and the tracking and that sort of thing, but I never knew that how much data does exist that most people aren't aware of, and that you can really make an impact on your ministry.
Yeah,
you really can. So
as a pastor or former pastor, let's say I'm listening, I got 85 people in my church, very limited with my budget, my staff. What's the most valuable piece of information like a small church like mine could get from using whocameby.com? And would that justify the cost and the effort?
No, it's a great question. And I think a lot of churches kind of have a growth mindset. If you had 85 people, that's fantastic. I don't think there's a right or wrong number, but do you want to grow that? And if you do, maybe you're making decisions on maybe a guest speaker or a guest, you know, worship band to come, something like that, or you want your church to go and visit something else. Just getting the intelligence alone, I think, is valuable. Of your 85 member church, and there's roughly 330,000 churches in America, a lot of churches, you can kind of just go out and see within your same zip code, how are the other churches doing? We just ended summer. Churches typically slump in the summer and they kind of come back September and you kind of run into October and then you're kind of running to like the Super Bowl, you know, and the Christmas season. So it's like you're building now for growth if that's kind of the main goal of your church is growth. So I would use that intelligence to see how other churches are doing in your area and seeing how consistent and stable your membership is right now.
And to flip that a little bit, what about my existing members? How could this help my existing members?
Yeah, you can see how stable your existing members are. If at 85, you probably already know that. But also it'd be interesting to know, you know, if I'm seeing a lot of new people coming to this church, where are they coming from? likely a different church. And what church is that? And we've all, I experienced that when I was in that church specifically. And like, oh, they keep coming and switching back and forth. And you can have that analysis and that level of intelligence in your data set.
Yeah. And one of the things you were showing us earlier was it not only includes information about their device and where they are, but you also have things like home addresses and things like that, right?
We do. Now, we don't license out that information, but yes, we do have it.
Oh, okay. So you,
what does that mean? Tell me what that means.
For us to know that they're at First Baptist Church of Memphis, we also need to know what is the, what we call the CND, the common nighttime dwelling, to know their drive time, to know the dwell time and things like that. But for privacy perspective, we typically aren't going to say, hey, Steve Lacy lives at 102 Main Street, Pastor Phil, you can go mail something to him. We would enable you to mail something to Steve, but we're not going to tell you his name.
Okay, so but you could send a mailer to that. If I'm back to my earlier example, and I want to get people that go to the U of A basketball game, you know, or whatever it may be, and I want to get a flyer in the mail saying, hey, come check out our church. We're big U of A basketball fans too, or something. Yep. You could, it's just a way to really target your outreach and marketing to a very specific, precise audience, as opposed to, you know, choosing a zip code or, you know, that sort of thing. This is going to get you some really highly targeted, outreach to people.
Exactly. No, go ahead, Phil.
Well, I was just saying, we're just about out of time here, but let me again throw this out here. If a church leader is listening right now and is a little bit hesitant about getting into the whole thing about data and all that stuff, what's the final piece of advice you might give them?
Yeah, I would say you're already in it. You're already in it. You and your church members are using Instagram and TikTok and X and Facebook and using weather apps and travel apps that are already collecting your information. Allow the data to work for you and not just be a consumer of it. And we do take privacy very, very seriously. And that's all baked into what we do. And we'll continue to strive to do a better job in that arena.
All right. Sounds good. Okie dokie. So we're talking with Walter Harrison today he's the CEO of whocameby.com. That's the website address, and you can go there. If folks want to reach out to you, is that the best place to go to reach out to you?
Yeah, feel free to email us directly at hello@whocameby.com.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Good. Steven, any other questions for Mr. Harrison?
This was when I first saw this, and we're going to potentially do a webinar in the future where you can see a demo of this. I was really blown away. And it takes a lot nowadays for this techie guy to get blown away by stuff, but it was, I was very impressed. So.
Yeah, good deal. We, for those who obviously we met with Walter as a week or two ago, and he actually shared his screen and shared a bunch of stuff, and we thought this would be a really good webinar. And so that's where we're going to go with that. You'll hear about that as time goes on. Walter, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're glad to have you, and we're excited about what you're doing. And I really think it's something very useful for people involved in ministry and church. So go to whocameby.com and check it out. And you can always reach out to us at streamingchurch.tv. We sure appreciate you spending some time with us today on the Church Solutions Podcast. Be sure and subscribe. Give us a rating. And again, if you want to reach out to us or Walter, please do so. We'd love to hear from you. Until then, we'll catch you on another episode. Please take care of yourself and each other, and we will catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson.